All right, it's time for the Lunch Rush. We take a dip into some of the larger stories nationally in the sports world. And by now, you know, Matt Rhule has been fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. But the story here is, like, David Tepper 6 months ago was like, this is going to take 5 years, 6 years, 7 years to rebuild this organization capable of sustainable excellence. We know we have to give it time, but not that much time. Rhule's firing Monday was, 24 hours after losing 37-15 to the Niners. Not even 3 years into the seven-year deal they gave him. They gave him a seven-year deal. $62 million contract he was given on January 2020 to turn around the Panthers. Now they still owe him north of $40 million. I mean, who signs a head coach to 7 years anymore? And if you do sign a head coach for 7 years, you better be ready to go in on it for the long haul. So, he was bad. He was 11-27, 1-4 to start the season. He was 1-27 when allowing 17 points or more. 25 losses in a row with that. Every other team has different wins when a team scores 17 or whatever. But still, the comments are what gets me. 6 months ago, it's like, this, we know, we gotta, this is going to take 5 years. We assigned a coach for seven. That's what's weird. I don't really disagree with the firing, but you owe him a lot of money. And now it's, you owe him a lot of money, and this was supposed to be a seven-year deal. You're on year three. You just went through 2 years. That's nuts.
Yeah, they signed him directly out of college. He coached at Baylor, and then he went directly to the NFL. I got to wonder now, could he be connected to CU?
That's who I keep hearing. You know, Brian Howell brought his name up. Do you want Matt Rhule? I mean, back to college. Some guys just can't make it in the NFL.
He had Baylor as a pretty good team.
Baylor was
great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd take that in CU. But, you know, maybe not a seven-year deal. Seven-year contract.
We just do 1 year just to see how it goes.
Yeah, just do. Why don't we do that anymore? Start doing one-year contracts with coaches. Did you see the unnecessary throwdown of Tom Brady? Atlanta has an opportunity here, Angel. The Bucs were up six, right? And driving to try to put this thing out. It's third down, and defensive lineman Grady Jarrett gets a sack of Tom Brady. He kind of rolls around with him, and then at the very end, kind of a slam down. And they call, roughing the passer. And it gave the Bucs a key first down with 3 minutes to go or something like that. That would have been, Falcons are going to get the ball back. Instead, third down, we're called roughing the passer. Was it roughing the passer? No. I mean, come on. I get it. But you were talking about the concussion stuff now. Get used to it. Get ready for it.
Well, I was talking about it a little bit on Friday when I was filling in for you. I kind of felt like the NFL had a knee-jerk reaction to the Tua stuff, which now we know nothing came of that. He wasn't concussed against the Bills. He had a back injury. He passed the cut for protocols. The NFL and NFLPA fired the independent neuro doctor for what looks like to be no reason.
Right, so they
followed
bring him
the
back?
Protocols, and the NFL realizes, oh, we investigated ourselves. We found out our protocols suck, but quick, fire somebody because the optics.
Does he have a case to sue the NFL, that doctor?
I have to look into it, but I think he might. Because I think the NFL's reasoning for firing him was the several mistakes and then showing hostility during the investigation, which now you can kind of see if he was being questioned about his methods and his testing protocols, you might be a little defensive if you think you did the right thing.
Yes. Yeah, I can see why. No question about it. So, but get used to it. You're going to see more and more of this now after we're going to tighten this up. If they're showing any kind of signs of you know, struggling at all.
Yeah, the gross
head shaking, whatever.
Gross motor instability. And that's kind of like any, like we saw with Tua, the stumbling, like yes. you see with quarterbacks or any player that gets up and touches their head, there's spotters in the league now. If they spot a symptom like that, they will radio down to the medical people and say, hey, you need to test him for protocols.
And then they're just done. Wow.
And you could pass your protocols, be fine. But if you had one of those symptoms, it's an automatic no-go.
Wow. Another story here. Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green offered a public apology and announced he will step away from the team indefinitely after an altercation on Wednesday between him and Jordan Poole. And I watched it. I mean, Green is talking smack to Jordan during practice. Smack, smack, smack. Gets up, gets in his face, goes up to him in his bubble, and gets in his bubble. Right up to him, chest to chest. Jordan Poole pushes him away, and then Draymond Green just levels him. A violent punch. And probably just, I mean, what, should Draymond Green be suspended for the year? He said, I'm going to stay away, as I've been away, and continue to work on myself, but also just give guys space. I do want to give my team some space. I want to give Jordan some space and then also take a few days and continue to work on myself, take some time to let everything breathe. What a weird situation, and I'll get to more of that because you know, that's a heck of a debate, right? Should Draymond Green just be suspended for the year? We'll break more into that later on. Zach Stevens joining me now, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, after a few days to kind of let that Thursday night game go away from our brains, hopefully forever. How are you feeling, man? I mean, injuries continue to pile up for the Broncos. We'll hear more about Russell Wilson. What's the state of Broncos of the Broncos today?
It's not very good, Brady. Like you said, it does help being a little bit further away from that game, but the bummer of that is it's an extra long week for the Broncos and that mini bye week, as it's called. And the Broncos need all the time they can get specifically for Russell Wilson. I mean, the injuries piling up. This game next week, to me, is truly an absolute must-win. You can't go to 0-2 in the division. You can't let the Chargers get a two-game lead on you, and it looks like the Chiefs are going to take that as well tonight. So it's a massive game in 1 week, and the Broncos are not trending in the right direction.
Well, especially the injuries. I mean, you're wanting to see if this thing can get right. Can Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson get this offense right? Well, that's going to be way more complicated now. Let's look at the offensive line, Zach. Obviously, we hear about Garrett Bowles. They've been battling injuries all season. But what does the starting offensive line look like today for the Broncos, what we might see on Monday night?
Well, I have to imagine that Calvin Anderson's going to step in at left tackle.
I think we lost Zach. Let's see. Is he still? Zach, are you still there?
You got me?
All right, yeah, we got you now. Okay, you were just talking about Calvin Anderson at left tackle.
Calvin Anderson's got to be the left tackle. That's where he's played his best ball. Then Quinn Meinerts, you're going to have him hopefully back soon. But Quinn Meinerts is a guy who was supposed to be back a week ago and suffered a setback. Quinn Meinerts, the Broncos desperately need him. And then Billy Turner, look, I don't know what's going on with Billy Turner, but he was able to play. In fact, he was active to play against the Colts, and he did not play. You got to have him back at right tackle. And this is just going to be a completely revamped and reworked Broncos offensive line, which is scary because you're going against a Chargers team that's talented. Yes, they're missing Joey Bosa, which is huge for the Broncos, but they still have Khalil Mack. And, man, something I thought about this morning is let's hope the Broncos don't see a Michael Schofield, Khalil Mack type of game. Oof. With backup offensive linemen in there this week.
Yeah, now we're just kind of makeshift offensive line here. How about Russell Wilson? What's the status of Russ? Hearing more and more about that shoulder injury he got in the Raiders game, and then it was still pretty rough last on Thursday against the Colts. What's his situation?
Yeah, it's not good, but Russ is very committed to playing through the injury. Look, Dak Prescott had the exact same injury last year and didn't throw for a month. Russ gets the injury, finishes out the Raiders game, then 4 days later, despite the shoulder being extremely sore, he goes out there and plays. And it could have affected his accuracy a little bit, but it did not impact his decision-making. And that was kind of the most concerning thing on Thursday night. So I hope that the team does what's best for the long term and doesn't just focus too much on the short term here. But everything that I've heard, from both the Broncos and Russ's camp is that Russ is going to play next week. And they tried that procedure, giving the injection, and that's something that typically you don't do for this type of injury. So they're just trying to do everything they can to get Russ out there next Monday.
There's a small chance maybe that we see Brett Rypien, or even maybe throughout that game if Russ can't go. This is a conversation we knew we would have at some point, probably with injuries and all that, but we might see Brett Rypien.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about an injury to a throwing shoulder for a quarterback, one that typically sidelines quarterbacks for some time. It's something that you absolutely have to consider, and it's something where Brett Rypien, he better be ready. Now, typically with a backup quarterback, all you ask is that they can just get you through a game or two. Well, look, Russell Wilson has barely been able to get the Broncos through some games now, so that's where it's concerning for me. You want your backup quarterback to come in, and you should be able to expect your backup quarterback to come in if he's good enough and go 1-1 over a two-game stretch and just not lose your season. Well, look, the Broncos haven't played good competition, and they're 2-2, and that's with Russell Wilson playing, or 2-3, I should say. So that's where it concerns me is, oh, man, if you don't have Russ and you're turning into a backup quarterback on a team that has so many injuries, on a team that struggled very much offensively throughout the first five games, I think that's too big of a task to ask Brett to go 1-1 or just hold the team up.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. How about on the defensive side? Another blow there as Ronald Darby, we found out, is out for the season. So another spot with Pat Surtain and Darby, you thought maybe kind of a strength for this team. You're going to be asking somebody to step up on the, as a next man up for the cornerbacks.
Man. Brady, Garrett Bowles' injury, I think, is more impactful than Ronald Darby, but here's the case for Ronald Darby's being more impactful, is the defense, specifically the pass defense, is an absolute strength of this team, and now you're losing one of those key pieces, and you're not just asking, like, next man up, you're asking a rookie in Damari Mathis to step in, and look, I've liked what I've seen from Damari Mathis, but come on, you're not telling me, you're going to tell me when Justin Herbert plays the Broncos, when Patrick Mahomes plays the Broncos, that these guys aren't going to pick on the rookie and try to expose him. That's exactly what's going to happen. Or you can turn to Michael Ojemudia, who's expected to come off the IR this week, who hasn't played football in a year. So that's something that concerns me. That's a big issue because now you take your biggest strength and now it's a question mark.
What about Justin Simmons? Are we still kind of on pace to see him back on Monday night?
Yeah, I fully expect to see Justin Simmons back on Monday night, especially with this extra long bye week. When Justin suffered the injury, they contemplated not putting him on IR, but they thought he would be out for a game. So I do expect him back this week. But again, Brady, especially when you're talking about key guys, take the conservative approach. That's what the Broncos have done so far. But saying that, I still think Justin will be back.
All these injuries, Zach, all these things have mounted up. I mean, my goodness, they're, one of the teams with the most guys on IR, I think, at this point. And we talked about avoiding that in the preseason. Man, that's making that lack of preseason reps for starters really look bad. It looks worse each and every week.
It does. It absolutely does, especially because the continuity with offense certainly is not there, and the offense is struggling, and that was one of the reasons to play them in the preseason was to, one, get kind of game management issues out of the way. Well, that took a couple of weeks into the regular season to get out of the way, and the second one was let these guys, specifically Russ and the receivers, get on the same page. And I mean, we just saw it last Thursday night. Hit Russ and the receivers are nowhere close to being on the same page. And Brady, we're over 5 weeks into this now. The preseason has got to stop being an excuse because Nathaniel Hackett decided to do that. I understood it in the moment, but boy, 5 weeks into the season, it certainly seems like that was not the right decision.
Zach, where is this locker room now? Both on the offensive side, Russ's guys, but also the defensive side. Or is there some resentment there? Are they starting to get frustrated? What's that situation like right now? Is this still a group that believes in each other?
You know, what concerns me the most is the offensive side of the ball. Look, the defense has been through this for the majority of the past 6-7 years,
right,
just carrying the team. They're kind of used to that. And they still do believe that Russ will eventually come around and the offense will be fine. So there's hope on the defensive side that the offense is going to get this turned around. So I'm not concerned there. But on the offensive side, specifically the receivers. I mean, the way KJ Hamler freaked out after the game, not only on the field where everyone nationally could see, and that has blown up by him slamming his helmet, throwing his helmet on the ground, but then after he goes into the locker room and tells James Palmer that he would have walked into the end zone if Russ just would have got him the ball. Yeah, KJ, we all saw it. You don't need to throw your quarterback under the bus. That's concerning. You also saw Courtland Sutton, I believe he threw his helmet earlier in the game. You had Jerry Jeudy at a different point in the game just tossing his hands up in the air. Russell Wilson is not the Russell Wilson we expected, but these young receivers that have really proven nothing in this league, outside of Courtland Sutton having one really good season, that Pro Bowl year, they don't need to be throwing their quarterback under the bus like this. So that's what scares me about the locker room potentially falling apart, is what the whole nation saw on Thursday night.
It just keeps getting worse till you add that. You add each and every week a key player like Javonte Williams, Garrett Bowles, Ronald Darby out for the season. Zach, in your mind, I mean, do you see Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett kind of figuring this thing out? And if they do, if you do think so, is it going to be too late?
Yeah, it very well could be too late, especially with Russ's injury, especially with all the other injuries. This game next week, the Broncos are 6.5-point underdogs. So Vegas is telling you the Broncos are not going to win this game. And Brady, if they drop to 2-4, they could get back to 4-4 by playing the Jets, although they're looking better than I ever would have expected, and then playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those games are not gimmies, and those are the games before the bye. If the Broncos go 2-1 in their next three games before the bye, which is not an easy task, they'll only be .500, and the Broncos need it to be above .500. So where we sit right now, I don't think they're going to go 3-0 into the bye. And so I do think it's going to be too late for this year to really have an impact of truly making a playoff push. But I do think that they have to get it figured out, right, Brady? I mean, this is Russell Wilson. This is a guy that has made the playoffs in eight of his first 10 years in the NFL. He's had a winning record 9 of his first 10 years in the NFL. This guy can play football, but clearly things need to change.
Zach, have you ever seen anything quite like this? Quarterback, everybody wants. They love the guy. He's had a great career in Seattle, a new head coach, and there's excitement. And then, bam, that excitement hits a brick wall, and it just, you know, crowds booing. They're quick to boo, quick to anger. Have we seen anything quite like this with those high expectations so quickly dashed 5 weeks into the season?
I could have absolutely never seen this coming. You're talking about a guy in Nathaniel Hackett that everyone loved, had probably the best honeymoon offseason of all time because of the positivity, the difference in culture he brings. And then, by the way, they land Russell Wilson, and he's over the moon. Broncos country's over the moon. And in the very first week, before the very first game is over, his honeymoon period is over with the team. Would have never guessed that. I thought his honeymoon period was going to be this full season. And then with Russell Wilson, Brady, I thought his honeymoon period was going to be 3 or 4 years with the Broncos, and potentially even longer. It's over 1 month into this season. I don't think anyone could have expected this poor of a start, not to mention the Broncos are averaging 15 points per game. That is the second worst in the NFL, only in front of the Indianapolis Colts, who they just beat the Broncos. Mm. So, no, this is completely unexpected, and I think that's why fans are even more upset with this. Is, yeah, the past few years there were boo birds and people were disappointed, but the Broncos at least gave those teams hope. This year, coming into it, the expectations were through the roof, and already 1 month into the season, they're 2-3. The offense does not look good, and that's, I think, why people are way more quick to boo. I mean, you heard booing, I believe, with like 10 minutes left in the second quarter this past week.
Yeah, there was a louder cheer for when the official said San Diego. I mean, it was louder at that point, and then louder when he got it right. So we'll see, Zach. It just, you know, with all the injuries piling up, it's, you know, you start wondering, okay, if they can make this click, they're going to have to do it through even more adversity with all of these injuries. So Monday night would be a great time to do it. I think you were noting that the Broncos, hey, they were 2-3 in 2012, and maybe the sky was kind of falling a little bit. They came all the way back and beat the Chargers, and the rest is history. The Broncos were in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs every single year after that.
Yeah, beat them on Monday Night Football. I mean, the storyline is there for the Broncos to do the exact same thing. Unfortunately, that team was averaging 27 points per game in their first five games, despite going 2-3. The Broncos only averaging 15 points per game. So, unfortunately, it's not the same setup. But, hey, I think everyone will take it if the Broncos go down 24-0 on Monday night and then flip it around, win 35-24, and then go on to win their final 12 games of the regular season, just like Peyton did winning his final 11 games of the regular season that year.
Yeah. Well, that schedule is so scary. Look, that's why, you know, we were putting so much pressure on the start of the season.
Yeah.
And you look after the bye, and it gets pretty rough. Zach, my man, what are you working on that we can check out, you know, get all of our Broncos fix as we wait around for next Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, really just what's going on with Russell Wilson. Is there a chance that the Broncos decide to sit him at some point? And just how limited will he be with that? So hopefully I'm going to be looking for those answers throughout the week.
All right, my man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll look to catch up with you perhaps later this week.
Brady, thank you so much.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. How about that? Could Russ not go on Monday night? And trust me, there's part of my brain on Thursday night going, what if Russ doesn't come out of that tent and they go with Brett Rippon and then they move the ball? Like, you, Zach said it, man. Nobody could have predicted this. You might have predicted that Russ isn't going to be a Peyton Manning 2.0. He's not going to go win a Super Bowl for this team in 7 years. I don't think even the biggest naysayer of Broncos country could have predicted 2-3. A C-minus effort from Russell Wilson, all these injuries mounting up, all of the obvious mistakes that Nathaniel Hackett has made. I don't think anybody would have written that down as a prediction. 27 after the hour. It was, about 10 years ago on a Monday Night Football game against the Chargers, and it seemed like the sky was falling, and the Peyton Manning thing wasn't maybe going to be as good as advertised. They were getting smoked by the Chargers, found a way to come all the way back and changed the course of Broncos history those next few years. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Third and eight, Rivers, and as he throws, the ball is free. Another loose ball. This one is scooped, and it may score with Tony Carter, who is free and all the way home for a game-changing score. Second and three, a quick toss. It's Decker getting a block from Thomas, getting a block from Stokely, getting into the end zone for the touchdown. As Rivers takes a shot, it is intercepted by Tony Carter, who had the touchdown a moment ago. Carter on the return near midfield and gives Peyton Manning and the Broncos the ball in great field position. And Manning fires. End zone shot. Stokely went up and caught it for the touchdown. What a catch. What a throw. What a comeback.
That was 2012, Angel. 10 years ago, the Broncos were 2-3. Just five games into their marriage with Peyton Manning, and Broncos country was, you know, I don't think it was this bad. I mean, you had John Fox as your head coach and Peyton Manning as your quarterback, and Manning was putting up good numbers. So it wasn't really, it was Manning the issue. But still, it was, you know, it was tough. You were concerned about what you were seeing. Thinking, man, I thought we were going to get back to the playoffs and do all this stuff and be a consistent, well, I guess they went to the playoffs the year before that with Tim Tebow, but still. But it was, you know, they beat Pittsburgh the first game, 31-19. They lost to the Falcons. Remember, that was a close game, but they came all the way back. Made that one interesting. Same with Houston. they were losing big, came all the way back, and you're thinking, man, other than comebacks here, there's not a lot of positives. They beat the Raiders 37-6, smoked them, then lost to the Patriots, another situation where they kind of came back, made it interesting. But still, you were looking at 2-3. You had a bye week coming up. You had to go with that Monday night game on October 15th. What's it going to be on Monday? 17th?
17th.
Wow. This game nuts. How it kind of works out. You were 2-3. You had a Monday night football game and then your bye week. And you were getting smoked. It was 24-0 at the half. And you scored 35 unanswered points in the second half. You had Manning doing it. Monster game from him. But you had turnovers. Chris Harris Jr. scored off of a turnover. Tony Carter scored off of a turnover. It was nuts. Manning was 13 of 14 for 167 yards in the second half for the Broncos. Fourth biggest regular season comeback in NFL history. He was 1-5 in his last six games against the Chargers, all with the Colts. Phillip threw four interceptions, three in the fourth quarter, lost two fumbles. Will it happen again? Will you see this be the game that wakes the Broncos up? That season, after that game, it was never in doubt. They had a bye week. They blew the doors off the place against New Orleans. They beat the Bengals 31-23. They smoked Carolina. They came back and beat the Chargers for the second time by 7. They beat the Chiefs in a low-scoring affair 17-9. They beat the Buccaneers. They beat the smoked the Raiders, smoked the Ravens in the regular season 34-17. Beat the Browns, destroyed Kansas City 38-3. Then they get their first round bye. They're 13-3, and they lose in two overtimes to the Ravens, 38-35. But still, that was the turnaround. Is this going to be the turnaround for the Broncos? Now you've got the Chargers on Monday night, and after that, you know, these were the next. It was the Jets and the Jags, and those were supposed to be wins. Can you find a way to get over the hump, get to 500 on Monday, and win two in a row, and go to 5-3 before the bye? If you go 5-3, you're one game behind where I thought you'd be, but I would take that easily. Are the Chargers as good as we thought? You know, they struggled against the Browns, and what are the Browns? Does anybody know? So, yes, it is a... It's this game, Monday night, doesn't feel like as obvious of a win for the Chargers. But then again, the Jets-Jags games don't feel as obvious of a win for the Broncos either. And now you've got the injury bug just decimating this football team right now. Especially on the offensive line. Maybe with your quarterback. Maybe with Russ. There are some big differences here. Texter from the 970. Man, do I miss Peyton. Yeah, Russ and Peyton ain't it, man. That ain't the. I mean, they're those two guys. That what a difference. You know, I told you to start the season. We talked about this and asked about Russell Wilson being a Hall of Famer, and my gut reaction is no. And he's done nothing to add to that resume. He's done nothing to add to his Hall of Fame resume in 2022, which was supposed to be the goal. These next 7 years was supposed to be a couple of championships, and he cements himself as a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's not there yet. He's not there, and this has certainly not helped. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick on Jell and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
It is Monday, which means at Cable's Pub and Grill, it's all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. Make sure you guys gear up for our Top Text Tuesday coming up tomorrow, where you'll have a chance to win a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. But also just, you know, write these days down. Mondays, all-you-can-eat spaghetti. Tuesday, Burger Madness for under $10. Wednesday, $3 pints. And under $8 for a personal pizza with up to three toppings. Fiesta Thursday, smothered burritos, $10.99, house margaritas for $4. Great deals on Saturdays and Sundays as well. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. Delicious food. I love their pizza, love their spaghetti. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Again, that's 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If you had to do it over, if you could go back in time, would you sign off on the trade to get Russell Wilson here as a Denver Bronco? Knowing you gave up two first-rounders, two second-rounders, a fifth-rounder, Noah Fant, Drew Locke, and Shelby Harris. I mean, the haul is crazy. Would you go back and do it? And I, like I said, I'd still go back and do it. I definitely say, hey, we're working through this season before we're going to sign any kind of contract extension or anything. What is Noah Fant, by the way, doing in Seattle? Is he doing anything? Okay, here, I got it here, Angel. Which I would take these numbers for a tight end. Three receptions against the Saints for 49 yards. If we could have a tight end do that, boy, wouldn't that be something. Seattle's interesting, too. Are they a good team? Is Seattle good? They lost to the Saints 39-32, but their offense is moving the ball. Geno Smith is moving the ball. 16-25, 268, three touchdowns, a rating of 139. Is Geno Smith better than Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Wow. Geno Smith is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson on this today as of October 10th, 2022.
He's 10 out of 10.
He's 10 out of 10. His rating's 10 out of 10. Would you take Geno Smith today over Russell Wilson then? If you could, like, no givesies, backsies, but we're givesies, backseeing. Today, Geno Smith or Russell Wilson?
I'm going to decline to answer. Ooh. I don't need all of Broncos country mad at me.
I think there's some Broncos country that would probably say I'd do it.
Russell, Geno, or Drew?
Well, Drew's going to be third down that list. The ceiling's still there, Angel. We're just not going to ever see it. We're never going to know what became
of
Drew Locke.
It's a very tall skyscraper with no roof.
There's no
Drew Locke. It's just going and going. We'll never know.
Because every opportunity that Drew had, he didn't take advantage of. He didn't take advantage of the preseason. And then obviously Geno Smith won that job, and he is now hanging on to it for dear life. And having a decent season. Now, they're 2-3. I would imagine they're fine in Seattle today, don't you? Like, 2-3? Are you kidding? Cool. We're, like, a game under 500 without Russ, without Bobby Wagner. This new era of Seattle Seahawks football. Oh, and the Broncos are the same record over there. They thought they'd be in the Super Bowl. And they're sitting at 2-3. They're going up against a Chargers team that's, you know, pretty good roster. Pretty good team there. Curious, though, like today, if you could pick Geno Smith or Russell Wilson. I mean, come on. I'm still going Russell Wilson. I believe that it's there, Angel. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm just going to keep getting my heart broken here, but I believe it's there. Texter from the 970. Would you take Russell or Drew plus two first-round picks plus two second-round picks plus $245 million? So wait, are you take Russell or Drew plus all those? Like, I'm confused. Am I confused? Explain this to me, Angel.
Are you saying just swap Drew and Locke, or not Drew and Locke? You swap Russell and Drew, but you keep the money and the picks, or you give away the money and
so
keep the picks?
You've got plus the two first round. I think you're saying that just keep Drew and your two first-round picks and your two second-round picks and your $245 million.
So just don't do the trade. Glad we got circled back to that.
So just don't do the trade. Yeah, I'm still doing the trade.
Would you take off a first or second round pick?
Would I try to modify this a little bit?
Maybe try to keep Noah Fant, trade your other two tight
ends?
Yeah,
the Noah Fant thing is like turning out to be... What are his numbers like? I mean, I know whatever game on Sunday, but what are his numbers? Did you hear Rashad Penny's out for this? Is he out for the season? That's going to be rough for them.
Noah Fant so far this year, 13 catches, 105 yards, and one touchdown.
Okay. Keep that number in your mind. Compare that with the best tight end for the Broncos. You're going to go Eric Saubert. He's the biggest numbers for tight end. 7 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's not much better, but, you know, Noah Fant has better numbers than Eric Saubert. You want to go down further than that? Andrew Beck, they list as a tight end. He's had, I thought he was going to start having a monster. After that first game of the season, I thought, man, they're going to use this guy a lot. Albert O has had 7 receptions for 50 yards. That was the guy that was supposed to be the guy. Now, Greg Dulcich is maybe going to be in practice this week. I forgot to ask Zach about that. But we might actually see Greg Dulcich on Monday. Please. I just want to see if we have a better tight end out there. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We deserve that. At least to see if it's there. 12:50 the time. Do want to thank No Limit Collectibles. While you're going over to Cables today for that all-you-can-eat spaghetti, pop over to No Limit Collectibles. Take a look at the sports memorabilia that they have, the sports cards that they have. Tell you what, Angel, my wife texted me today, and this is my wife. She's ahead of the game. She's got her Christmas shopping done. Maybe you go into No Limit Collectibles this week and just start thinking of that. Do you have a card collector in your life? Get the Christmas shopping done over with while you're there. Grab a Cables gift card and something awesome from No Limit Collectibles. There's no limit to what you can collect. Love those two businesses that help make this program what it is. 12:51, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll wrap up this hour, and then we're going to have the Clay Millen Show coming up in the 1 o'clock hour for a couple of segments. I know there's only so much we could talk to him about, considering the fact he didn't play, but he's going to give us that insight and talk about the Rams beating Nevada. The Rams get off the schneid, and they are 1-4, beating Nevada 1-0 in the Mountain West Conference. We'll talk to Clay in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just a few minutes left here in the 12 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we will be talking to Clay Millen. Did not play against Nevada. I'm not sure if he's going against, Utah State coming up this weekend. But, I know Rams fans watching, young quarterbacks out there. But seeing this offense was really rough. That offense for CSU is really trying to figure it out, save for Avery Morrow. He was my my player of the week, thanks to Zvi Brewing. 168 yards rushing. Are we going to get to see a lot more of that from this junior out of Seattle? I don't know, man, but he was fun to watch. For one game at least, CSU got a win. Feeling good about it. They're not going to go winless. They're not the worst team in college football anymore. It's a beautiful day. And we'll see if the Rams can do it again against Utah State, which I'm guessing would be a pretty major upset. The Clay Millen Show is coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.